It is again time for the New American Dream Radio Show. The American Russian novel, All We Need Is More Vodka Radio Hour. We have the winds of our own totalitarian society freezing the land solid, a tortured tundra.
What we must have is a new American dream. We are allowed to ask any questions that we have. There are no wrong questions. A new American dream. Not of homes and toasters, but of becoming the type of country we always thought we were. The new America, the real hope of the world.
Some of those who have spoken the truth are no longer here. Their chairs at the Thanksgiving adult big table are empty. Their relatives have sent them to Siberia with a roll of their eyes. So let us begin. Here we go. Scooch up to the samovar. Maybe leave your hat and boots on. Fill your peasant hands with a warm drink. And listen for the sound of hoofbeats on the ice.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that portion of grace appear the hour I first believed. The Lord has promised good to me, His word may I hope secure. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. The many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun.
That was for the victims of the latest school shooting, which took place here in Broward County, Florida. It's the closest I've been connected to any victims. One of the victims was wrestling coach at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, and he coached the son of one of our regular guests, Rachel Finley. Here's what Rachel said on Facebook. Just received confirmation that my son's wrestling coach, Coach Hickson, has passed away as a result of the shooting. I don't know what to say to my son. Coach Hickson was such a great source of support. He was always there, encouraging, pushing each student to reach their full potential. Just shortly before the shooting, my son had left his bag in the courtyard by accident. Coach Hickson found it, had my son call to the guidance office. When he arrived, Coach Hickson was there with the bag, joking that my son owed him lunch. He was just a great guy. He knew how to relate to the kids and made a real difference every day. This is too much. It's all too much. And my comment, our hearts go out to everyone at the school, to everyone in the community. My prayers are with Rachel and her son and with all the victims. And I must even include the shooter in that list for someone exploding in this horrible violence. Someone hurting and killing others is surely a victim too. Our society, our very culture is infected with this sickness, this ferocity. In the 1929 St. Valentine's Day massacre, the gunmen and the seven victims were mob figures, gang members. This time, more than twice as many died, and the victims were children and their teachers. It spilled into all our lives, this horrendous killing, this senseless savagery. Brutal reactions pervade every conflict as we are led by example into hatred rather than love. May God have mercy on us all. I'm Chuck Gregory. This is the New American Dream Radio Show, and we are streaming live on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. It's a listener-supported network, and they deserve your support. And I am proud now to introduce my friend and co-host, Mike Palachek, an American writer.
Hello, Chuck. Tonight we welcome these special guests, Anthony Rayson, Larry Pinkney, M.K. Davis, Frank Cordero, and Phil Ferruggio. So this Thursday evening, we are gathering for the New American Dream Radio Show in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in Duluth, Minnesota, in Minneapolis, Minnesota, in Chicago, Illinois, in Des Moines, Iowa, in Port Orange, Florida, in Benton, Mississippi, and wherever you are.
And now from Port Orange, Florida, it's Philip Ferruggio with It's the Empire, Stupid.
Good evening, we're working stiffs. Never give a sucker. Kudos to the 1941 W.C. Fields comedy film, Never Give a Sucker an Even Break, for this inspiration. Well, this certainly does fit with what is transpiring now in our American empire with a K. This writer lives in an area I have always labeled as Death Valley, USA, the Daytona Beach area. For the most part, it is a place of low political and cultural sophistication. As with most areas of low repute, there are lots of us who are exceptions to this rule. Yet, so many of those who live here or visit here are what old W.C. Fields would call suckers. The month of February is NASCAR month in Daytona. We have that infamous Daytona 500 race that draws lots of Trump and right-wing loving folks to our doorstep. Of course, we have our own natives with lots of northern transplants in the mix singing the mantra of making America great again. In addition to those infamous Trump stickers on the many SUVs and pickup trucks, we have the seemingly countless license plates celebrating either the Marines or the Army. Do any of those people realize that, contrary to the right-wing rhetoric, we are not at war? The last time we were really at war was December 1941. All the rest of them were propaganda spins that, sadly, so many suckers kept falling for. Well, the Bush Sr. and Bush Jr. Cheney gangs got away with this fraud. And then Mr. Hope and Change signed on. And of course, now Mr. President with the orange hair and tan continues the magic trick. So many of the aforementioned NASCAR fans and gung-ho license plates carrying the Warriors are getting that fat tax break. You know, about $900 a year, while the super rich and corporate hacks get upwards of tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars each. Meanwhile, the right wing will continue to cut away at Medicaid and even Medicare. So that white-haired senior citizen who was driving an old pickup truck in front of me yesterday with his Marines license plate and Trump sticker had better beware. Why? Well, he looks like he may be in line for going into a nursing home in the not-too-distant future. With those Medicaid cuts happening, he may not even be able to get placed in one. Or, until that day does come, he will most likely have to go deeper into his pockets for his medications because his Medicare will be stricter on what is covered. What really both angers and saddens this writer is the whole topic of what the Empire stooges in both major parties like to call defense spending. No, it is simply military spending. It has been slowly bankrupting our nation to the tune of over 50% of our federal taxes. Now, those Trump-loving and gung-ho Marines and Army lovers applaud the fact that Trump and the swamp want to increase the spending. So while our towns and cities are teetering on insolvency, along with our states, more money is not going to help them fiscally. Instead, it is going to subsidize the 900-plus foreign bases we have, the overkill weapons systems, and overall deployment of our military personnel to places they have no business and had no business being in. Our cherished safety net is being torn apart with this insanity, and the suckers still think they are the patriots. Well, the real patriots are we folks who do not wish to send our young soldiers to all those places overseas to either kill or be killed for strictly the purposes of this military industrial empire. Thank you.
A special edition of Penn Magazine is now available at PennMagazine.us, P-E-N-N, magazine.us. Penn Magazine is named in honor of Penn Jones, Jr., one of the first honest researchers into the murder of John F. Kennedy. It's all connected. That day and this, there is an ongoing thread. That's why it's important to keep doing the work. Because if truth does not come to the United States, it will implode and possibly destroy the world as well. So join with us and let's save the world. Special edition, read all about it, in order to mark the release of The Post, a movie which has the journalism field abuzz about the journalism field, quite appropriately a blockbuster Hollywood money-raking fictional piece starring Tom Hanks, letting us all know that we are safe while he is on the job. Penn Magazine offers our report on the state of the free press in the United States of America. Something is rotten in the newsroom. Penn Magazine, P-E-N-N, magazine.us. We thank you for taking the time to read Penn Magazine. Mike Polacek, editor. Chuck Gregory, publisher. My recommended, Debbie Lusignan, L-U-S-I-G-N-A-N, The Sane Progressive, on YouTube, entitled The Non-Reality We Accept Becomes Nightmare We Manifest.
And now we join in progress another episode of The Americans. The Americans is brought to us by Crisis Actors of the Homeland, Operation Mockingbird, Operation Northwoods, COINTELPRO, and by Kraft and Blackwater, bringing you Aurora, Tucson, Orlando, the Boston bombing, Sandy Hook, San Bernardino, Charlottesville, and so much more. The Americans dream of marshmallow clouds and lollipop lanes and TV towns, while the world wails, fists clenched, tears streaming. The Americans dream of rocket ships, fireworks, freedom, and alleluia, while they sleep on through the alarm, the house of fire. It's true that the newcomers to Washington, D.C. are different than ever before, but after all is said and done, they are Americans. The construction is underway for the wall around the Washington, D.C. Beltway to drain the swamp with an impressive culvert system and to separate the White House, the FBI, the CIA, the Pentagon, the Congress, and the Washington Press Corps from normal human beings. Scattered around the job site are the wooden boards to be tacked up all around the new wall with a message. Let me put it this way. While 9/11 was a U.S. deep state operation, probably subcontracted for execution to the Israelis, the entire Washington swamp has been since 9/11 accomplished after the fact by helping to maintain the cover-up. If this is brought into light, then thousands of political careers are going to crash and burn into the scandal. Well, the nuts have finally arrived, really arrived, in Pyongyang, South Korea, for the Winter Olympics. The child left behind and Skippy the construction worker and self-taught on YouTube demolition expert have been carrying boxes of secrets from the basement maintenance of secrets office out to the street on Pennsylvania Avenue, where they set the boxes open to the wind and let the papers fly wherever they may. Cosmo and Imelda Nutt are marching into the People's Stadium thing during the opening ceremonies of the Ping Pong Winter Olympics, representing the United States Olympic bowling team, wearing bowling shirts they purchased for half off in downtown Ping Pong from Ali's House of Jihad. As they entered the big stadium, Vice President Toad and Mrs. Vice President Toadette refused to stand, because they were not going to stand for anything. Well, as Vice President Toad said afterward in his press conference, reading from stationery made by former President George W. Bush, who, thank God, now has nothing to do. If you stand for something, you will stand for anything. And there's this saying, I know it's in Tennessee, stand once, shame on me. Stand twice and you'll just get tired. President Cosmo Nutt and especially Mrs. President Imelda Nutt noticed that Toad and Toadette were not standing as the United States bowling team marched past, and they, especially heard, made a mental note to screw Toad and Toadette big time for that, and then waved to Colin Kaepernick, Edward Snowden, and Captain Kangaroo standing right there, saluting smartly Ali's House of Jihad, United States of America bowling team. The Bubbas also entered the big stadium in the RV, representing Russia, which was pretty cool. In the meantime, Rusty the Patsy, Muhammad Ali the Terrorist, Jews the Limo Driver, Slappy the House Alien, Mama Pajama Jemima the MK Ultra Trainer, Warren Beatty the Secretary of Getting Things Right, and Morgan Freeman, Secretary of the War of the Worlds, with Red Devils and Sickles and Hammers and Stalin and Lenin, Boris and Natasha and the Kremlin, freshly painted on their butts, pursued their perpetual plan of pooping in Ping Pong Square to make a national scandal that will go poorly for Russia, probably. And now they're squatting there with poop on the cement and poop on their butts, and nobody brought any toilet paper, and Warren Beatty, the Secretary of Getting Things Right, thought, oh, crap. What do we do? What do we do? Said Morgan Freeman, Secretary of the War of the Worlds. Just as Buzz the Space Dog and Ricardo the Space Cat pranced playfully into Ping Pong Square, having been delayed at the airport, getting out of their crates in the plane pet luggage section without photo IDs, and getting checked into the hotel and making their way to Ping Pong Square. Buzz immediately went straight to work, sniffing everything and everybody, as Ricardo stretched and told them all not to worry. He would think of something, but now he was tired and needed a nap, so he hopped onto a bench and went to sleep. There was no national press there, and so things did not go badly for Russia, only for all of them, and even Mark, the most dangerous blogger on Earth, and Randall from Stevens Point, who had been sitting there on the Group W bench. It's what it said there on the bench thing, for really no reason at all. Moved far away from the perplexing poop riot and left them all with their butts turning red from the cold and not from communism. The Bubbas were also entered in the bobsled competition, and they were excited, having spent days with their heads in the beer cooler to train. But the International Olympic Committee put an end to that because of a memo from Vice President Toad, which he sent out while he was up sitting in the big seats that he and Toadette only got because Cosmo and Imelda had to hurry off to maintain America's bowling integrity. The Toad memo. A worldwide alert has been issued by the USA Department of Homeland Security, the NSA, FBI, CIA, and Dan, who takes tickets at the Legion on Fridays. No Americans are being allowed to fly on airplanes or rollerblade because of the severity of the of how severe it is. Americans are advised to be on the lookout for Bob Qaeda, said to be an affiliate of Al Qaeda. Bob Qaeda is, well, it's like this. Here is the guts of the matter, as it were. Where do these bobsled people come from every 4 years in the Olympics? They are nowhere, and then all of a sudden, boom! There they are, front page on the TV everywhere. They must train somewhere, live somewhere. What are they? Where are these hidden bobsled training facilities? DHS says they're rumored to be deep in the caves of Afghanistan. Al Qaeda, Bob Qaeda, bobsleds. Hey, look out. Stay tuned next week, where we will see the Bubbas, for no reason, expecting to do extremely well in the Olympic Quidditch competition. Cosmo and Imelda Nutt bowling against Korea at Ping Pong House of Pints and Pins, and Vice President Toad and Mrs. Vice President lugging cleaning buckets and towels and a wheelbarrow of toilet paper down to Ping Pong Square.
Moonrock Books. We're a group of scholars, experts, and authors who feel the world really needs saving, and that resisting the American Empire is the right thing to do. People are starved for truth. They are given lies. They subsist on lies, but it's not really living. People are not watching TV news. They're ceasing to read newspapers, too, because they know by now they will not find it there. The biggest battle being fought anywhere is with information. If the people can receive the truth, they will do the right thing. We are publishing the truth about Sandy Hook, about the Boston bombing, about the moon landings, about the Holocaust, and much, much more. The truth. It falls upon us to fight the empire and save the world. Join us, Moonrock Books.
I was standing by the window on one cold and cloudy day when I saw the hearse come rolling for to carry my mother away. Oh, will the circle be unbroken? By and by, Lord, by and by, there's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. I said to the undertaker, please drive slow. For this lady you are carrying, Lord, I hate to see her go. Will the circle be unbroken? By and by, Lord, by and by, there's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. Oh, I followed close behind her, tried to hold up and be brave. But I could not hide my sorrow when they laid her in the grave. Oh, will the circle be unbroken? By and by, Lord, by and by, there's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. I went back home. The home was lonesome since my mother, she was gone. All my brothers and sisters crying, what a home so sad and alone. Will the circle be unbroken? By and by, Lord, by and by, there's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow, Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. EST, Studio B.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Our next guest of the show is Frank Cordero. Frank Cordero joins us each week from Des Moines, Iowa, the Des Moines Catholic Worker. Frank's a former Catholic priest. He's a lifelong Catholic worker working with the poor, mostly in Des Moines, Iowa, and he has served over 6 years in federal prison and county jails for protesting against the U.S. military machine. And Chuck talked to Frank earlier today, and we're going to get to hear that conversation right now.
Yo, Chuck.
Well, hello, Frank. How are you?
Well, you know, you call every Thursday. You think I would, you know, have it on my radar. Look, Chuck's going to call me every Thursday. Then when I look at the ID and I go, oh, that's Chuck. It's Thursday. It's time to do the 5-minute confession. So it's like, oh, wow. So I'm
I took a break. I'm away from the house. I was on the store. The store we have a room where we have our resources to give folks, you know, like toiletries and imperishable foods, necessary clothing type stuff. It's kind of like, you know, you knock on the door and you say, what do you need? What can I get for you? And it's one of the more grueling jobs, unless you don't have much of anything left that people want. And then it's a piece of cake. So at the moment, I had a piece of cake because most of the stuff folks want were just bone dry on. So I got done doing that work. And so I came over here and to my house. As you're familiar, we have these houses that are very close.
Yeah.
And I am contemplating the state of things as they are. Tomorrow is my 67th birthday. So that's something to, you know, I don't know. It's a marker. Sure. The other marker that I wish I could say otherwise is that Jess and Ruby still no word. So there you go. So it's a, yeah. And we're getting, I'm trying to get the folks to work on another via patches. Aaron's got most of the stuff. So we go through these cycles, the weather is lightening up a bit. The snow is melting, although it's going to come again next week. Pretty much that's trying to cope. Oh my God, the killings. That's, that is just so sad. So,
you know, the
familiar, so repetitive.
Yes, indeed.
So outrageous, so outrageous, so outrageous.
You know, it's near here, you know.
No. Oh, yeah. My, you're right. You're in Florida.
Hey, yeah. Oh. It's in our county.
Oh, my God. It's in your county.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you guys are in the epicenter of, and next week it'll all, they won't have, I mean, it's just so sick.
Yeah.
This country is so sadly sick. My heart breaks. So that we're dealing with. But we are Americans. We'll just digest it like we do everything else.
Yeah, really.
God help us.
It'll just come out the other end.
Oh, God. Oh, so, yeah. So these are all kind of sobering times with the presidency. How about that for entertainment, huh? Washington, so tragically inept in so many ways. And they're not alone. There's a cast of responsible leadership, moral leadership, you know, a community leadership. It's just a, these are dark times, Chuck. So it's a, I just, again, I'm, you know, if you have to live in dark times, apparently we both do. I and everyone's listening. I'm just grateful I'm in a place where I'm at least I know it's dark, and I believe I'm doing something positive, very small, really insignificant. But then that's the beauty of being a human being. Once you catch on that what you do is insignificant, and yet at the same time must be done, and you're the only one that can do it. Then you just live through these times. When the times got real bad in scripture, they went to apocryphal writings, you know, apocryphal stuff. Ezekiel being taken up into the heavens there in captivity in Babylon, Daniel, and of course the book of Revelation. And I really believe we live in apocryphal times. Because our whole culture is awashed with apocryphal literature, the zombies, the superheroes, the time travelers, the Martians, the epidemics, the extinctions of the human race. All of these things that are put into these movies in different ways are all ways in which we're grappling with our own now global species demise. And it's with in our own hands. So it's a it's a whole new genre on the literature because we have the atomic bomb and all of that represents. Yeah. But it's an old literature, and the Bible is steep with it, and it's about doing right, even in bad times, and speaking truth, even when it comes at a cost. And then the radical Jesus says, get rid of your stuff or your stuff gets rid of you. That's really what it's about.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in America, that's where we're really stuck.
Yeah.
So how about that for about 5 minutes of whining?
Hey, Frank, let me wish you a very happy birthday and many
Thank
more.
You. Thank you. Thank you, brother. All right. I will pray for you folks there in Florida and what you're going through.
Thank you. Thank you.
God bless.
Bye-bye. God bless. Bye-bye.
And so, yeah, tonight, our New American Dream Company presents excerpts from a speech given by Harold Pinter while accepting the Nobel Prize for Literature 2005. This talk was entitled Art, Truth, and Politics. Harold Pinter.
Politicians, on the evidence available to us, are interested not in truth, but in power, and in the maintenance of that power. To maintain that power, it is essential that people remain in ignorance, that they live in ignorance of the truth, even the truth of their own lives. What surrounds us, therefore, is a vast tapestry of lies upon which we feed. The crimes of the United States have been systematic, constant, vicious, remorseless, but very few people have actually talked about them. You have to hand it to America. It has exercised a quite clinical manipulation of power worldwide while masquerading as a force for universal good. It's a brilliant, even witty, highly successful act of hypnosis. I put to you that the United States is without doubt the greatest show on the road. Brutal, indifferent, scornful, and ruthless, it may be. But it is also very clever. And it's a winner. You don't need to think. Just lie back on the cushion. The cushion may be suffocating your intelligence and your critical faculties. But it's very comfortable.
Harold Pinter, while accepting the Nobel Prize for Literature 2005, his talk was entitled Art, Truth, and Politics. And now we bring you the Charles Bukowski Target and Walmart Valentine's Day Card Special American Collection. Tell those Americans around you what you really think. A card designed with you in mind. Some sample selections from the Bukowski Target and Walmart Special American Collection, a card designed with you in mind. I don't hate people. I just feel better when they're not around.
The best often die by their own hand just to get away. And those left behind can never quite understand why anybody would ever want to get away from them. Sometimes you climb out of bed in the morning and you think, I'm not going to make it, but you laugh inside, remembering all the times you felt that way. We're all going to die, all of us. What a circus. That alone should make us love each other, but it doesn't. We're terrorized and flattened by trivialities. We're eaten up by nothing. There's a loneliness in this world so great that you can see it in the slow movement of the hands of a clock. People so tired, mutilated, either by love or no love. People just are not good to each other one-on-one. The rich are not good to the rich. The poor are not good to the poor. We are afraid. Our educational system tells us that we can all be big-ass winners. It hasn't told us about the gutters or the suicides. Or the terror of one person aching in one place, alone, untouched, unspoken to, watering a plant.
Sometimes you just have to pee in the sink.
Couldn't get myself to read the want ads. The thought of sitting in front of a man behind a desk and telling him I wanted a job, that I was qualified for a job, was too much for me. Frankly, I was horrified by life at what a man had to do simply in order to eat, sleep, and keep himself clothed, so I stayed in bed and drank. When you drank, the world was still out there, but for the moment, it didn't have you by the throat. Problem was, you had to keep choosing between one evil or another. No matter what you chose, they sliced a little more off you till there was nothing left. At the age of 25, most people were finished. Whole goddamn nation of assholes driving automobiles, eating, having babies, doing everything in the worst way possible, like voting for the presidential candidate who reminded the most of themselves.
The Charles Bukowski Targeted Walmart Valentine's Day Card Special American Collection, a card designed with you in mind. Our next guest of the show is Anthony Rayson. Anthony Rayson joins us each month from Chicago. Anthony is a former toll booth operator on the Chicago freeways. He's retired from that. And he is an activist, a writer. He communicates with prisoners, writers in American prisons, and he publishes those writings in zines that he publishes with his own money, and he distributes those. You can find a selection of these zines published online by DePaul University. You would just have to Google or look at DePaul University Special Collections, the Anthony Rayson Special Collection. And so now we're going to try to contact Anthony Rayson in Chicago and hear what he has to say.
Hello.
Well, hello, Anthony. It's Chuck and Mike at the New American Dream Radio Show, and you're on the air.
Well, thank you very much. Greetings, folks. Yesterday was a triple whammy day for me. We got Ash Wednesday, Valentine's Day, and my wife and I's 32nd wedding anniversary. But as always, the profane existence of American-induced global misery proceeded unabated, and one sicko celebrated with fascist terror on the anniversary of the same thing that happened in Northern Illinois University a few years ago. So that's like an annual fascist tradition now to destroy Valentine's Day, I guess. Anyway, I was going to read from a couple of zines put out by the Papyrus Collective of death row inmates at San Quentin. But I'm going to save that for next month. So instead, I'm going to read a couple letters from prisoners to give you sort of an idea of what's involved with these close collaborations that I do with some of these conscious prisoners. The first letter is written by a fella named Dawood Imam Muhammad Crutchfield. That's Dawud Crutchfield, number 224332A. He's up in the Green Bay Correctional Institution, P.O. Box 19033 in Green Bay, Wisconsin, 54307. He's a conscious Muslim up there. And so he writes, in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful, to Brother Anthony Rayson, from Brother Dawood Imam Muhammad Crutchfield, response to your letter, request for zines. Dear Anthony, greetings and peace be upon your family and you. Brother Anthony, Ishla Allah, this reaches you, finding them and you all in the very best of health, spirits, and strength. Rad, thank you for taking the time to personally respond to my letter and for sending me the zine catalogs. I greatly appreciate both of them from you. Alhamdulillah. Your assessment of the PIC censorship in the Constitution is 100% on point. Well, Equally on point is the missive entitled Zine Machine by Brother Coyote. He did an excellent job of articulating the value of zines to those of us behind the walls, especially when in segregation, where they can be digested and dissected properly. Just think about that. In this society of clamor and noise, basically the people that are really studying, digesting, and dissecting intelligent analysis are in segregation in the nation's prisons. Coyote, who we mentioned, is a brilliant writer, activist, longtime prisoner, recently released. He was married. He was rearrested after becoming a father twice during an altercation at a demo in Seattle. And I think he recently got back out, so he lives in Washington. So that's who he's referring to, Coyote. But yeah, think about that. Far from all the noise where you can actually think and advance mentally, you got to be in segregation. Can't even begin to tell you the valuable role that you've played to many of us who've spent years in segregation by providing some of the most thought-provoking, eye-opening, and life-changing writings we've ever come across. So popular were Are They? Many of us shared and traded them like sporting cards, trying to accumulate all of the writings of our favorite writers. Some, like myself, even to this day, use them for study groups, introduction to politics, and new African teachings, and introspection. Thank you and bless you. Brad, I've been incarcerated over 2 decades now and find that the youth are in a worse state than those of my generation in the 70s and 80s, and an even greater need of being reached out to by those of us who are aware and amongst them. Thus, one of my reasons for trying to reaccumulate zines is to share and use. Thank you for providing me with the information to DePaul University, Brother Derek Potts. Also, you mentioned that he was going to be putting together a presentation on mass incarceration this month and that you would be meeting with him and visiting and collaborating before then. Has the presentation taken place yet? If so, when and how was it? Well, yes. Cool as hell, Derek drove down from Evanston to my house, a couple of hour drive, in December before he put on this show he planned at DePaul University in Chicago. I laid on many new zines, prints of awesome prisoner artwork. I gave him a dynamite book about John Brown, and then I gave him spectacular original prisoner artwork and even huge collages done by prisoners to feature in his show. He emailed me pictures of what he had going, a show that lasted 2 months. I think it's still up. I look forward to seeing him soon, and also I gave him a couple dozen 40-page catalogs for his students who he's teaching, whose focus this semester is taking prisoner support to another level. It's really amazing. Okay, and then Crutchfield continues, hopefully there will be many more to come and that they will open the minds, eyes, and hearts of those who attend. Inshallah. I can't wait to get out and organize, sponsor, host, and participate in such personally. Well, I've taken enough of your time, and we'll end this here. I'm going to close a list of zines that I would like to be sent, if available, whenever the time permits. I look forward to your response to them. Until then, may Allah guard, continue to guard, guide, and bless. So that's a sort of a little indication of how impactful these publications are for prisoners. Here's another letter from Jorge Nunez, a prisoner in a Florida State prison. His number is T-74-856, and the address, P.O. Box 800, Rayford, R-A-I-F-O-R-D, Florida, 32083. He writes, Dear Anthony, first let me say that I hope when you receive this letter, you're in the best of health and spirit. They're always very kind and uplifting when they write. It's kind of amazing. My name is Jorge Nunez, but if you wish, as a friend in your letter, you may call me Tico. However, I'm presently in Florida State Prison on close management. Since I've been here, I've been gotten in a few of the work you have on the yearly catalog. I wish to commend you on your work, passion, and want to let you know that I'm 100% supporter of what you are giving back to the people. Most of the work I have seen seems fascinating from the ones I have read. I can say I'm hooked. I wish I will, without a doubt, continue seeking the work you have. Like I said before, I'm 100% supportive of what you're doing, but I'm also trying to become involved in the Imbue movement to reach out and teach individuals through what Zine's teachings have to offer. That is a question as much as it is a statement. I am sending a piece of work I'm putting together myself named War to Peace. If you approve of my work, I would like to become an active supporter. Let it be God's will, but if everything goes as well as I would like to open an ABC zine in prison to help feed individuals education and knowledge in hopes that it will be accepted in all Florida prisons. War to Peace is a movement of my future nonprofit organization named For Family. I would like to start it in prison with your help so the future fathers, leaders, and the people may understand where we are coming from. However, I have some questions. If you can answer them and help me out by connecting me with the right people, I praise your work and commend you on your accomplishment. May God bless. Question number one, is there a group that is actively in court that are fighting for prisoner rights? And if I may receive the address or other information to communicate? Yes, there are groups that possibly will help them. It's very difficult. I sent them to cook up with the IWW, whose group that I helped start called IWOC, which is Incarcerated Workers Organizing Committee, actually does work with prisoners and has National Lawyers Guild lawyers that do work with certain prisoners. And so he has a chance to have some kind of legal representation. I don't know. I told him to tell him Anthony sent you, and, you know, if they want to talk to me about, you know, his project, I'd be glad to talk to him about it. And I gave him a resource zine that lists maybe 80 or 100 different prisoner support groups from around the country with various things that they offer prisoners and some other things to help him. And plus a personal letter going over what it is, you know, I read his piece. I don't think I have time to read his piece tonight, but it's got some good points to it. I think it's got some potential. And so, yeah, I'm going to work with him with it. And in the next few months, we'll probably come up with a zine about it. Then the next question was, what kind of help may ABC volunteers receive from you to teach others better? And that's another whole thing of how I help certain prisoners establish a sort of prison ABC chapter where they can help spread this material around and get a sort of an organization and some hookups with some outside ABC activists throughout the country. And number three, and if not, it's simple. How many do you, and he wants to see if he can get his work in the catalog, you know, get it published and whatnot. And I told him, well, you know, I'll look at his stuff and see if it's worth pursuing, and, you know, pretty good chance that we'll do it. So then he wants a couple of zines, which are what should I do? What should you do if you are arrested or framed by the cops? And another zine, Cop Watch, Introduction to Citizen Monitoring of Police. So sure enough, these are kind of the things we're working on.
Right.
All right.
On.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
100% Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Wadia will remain a dictatorship. For the quiet. Why are you guys so anti-dictators? Imagine if America was a dictatorship. You could let 1% of the people have all the nation's wealth. You could help your rich friends get richer by cutting their taxes and bailing them out when they gamble and lose. You could ignore the needs of the poor for healthcare and education. Your media would appear free, but would secretly be controlled by one person and his family. You could wiretap phones. You could torture foreign prisoners. You could have rigged elections. You could lie about why you go to war. You could fill your prisons with one particular racial group, and no one would complain. You could use the media to scare the people into supporting policies that are against their interests.
Tune in Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, for Liberation Nation with Deacon John, where America comes to hear the truth.
I know this is hard for you Americans to imagine, but please try.
Anti-aircraft guns went into action against unidentified aircraft in the Los Angeles area shortly after 3 a.m. Pacific wartime this morning.
We are far stronger than we were 10 weeks ago.
General Quarters, all hands man your battle stations.
Be nervous, don't you told. I'll do the mastermind around here.
You who have not seen it do not know what hell looks like from the top.
Check it out every Tuesday and Saturday on Revolution Radio. It's a double dose of the internationally recognized renegade military historian, Douglas Dietrich.
You'll stay right where you are till I tell you to move out.
Yeah, that's right. Tuesdays from 10 to midnight Eastern Time. Join Douglas Dietrich as he exposes the truth in hidden history on his show, Critical Omissions. And then our human weapon of mass destruction is back once again to take your calls on Saturday night firing lines. Both from 10 to 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Only on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Our next guest to the show is Larry Pinkney. Larry Pinkney joins us each month from Minneapolis. He's in the 60s. He was a member of the Black Panther Party. He's a radio show host. He's a writer, an activist, and we're going to try and contact Larry Pinkney in Minneapolis right about now.
Greetings. I am very sorry that I'm unavailable to speak with you right now. Please give me a call back. Leave your name.
Well, let me try that again, Mike, but we may have a problem getting hold of Larry.
Okay.
Greetings. I am very sorry that I'm unavailable to speak with you right now. Please give me a call back. Leave your name and...
Chuck?
Yes?
I think we'll just continue on and we'll give MK a little more time, if that's okay with you.
Works for me.
Okay. And we now get the view from Uncle Bill's front porch. Conspiracies are real. There are many more of them than people are aware. Just Google, for example, Operation Gladio or the Northwoods Project. These conspiracies alone are sufficient to chastise those uninformed Western peoples who go around saying our government would never kill its own people. False flag attacks are used by governments in order to pursue secret agendas that they cannot publicly acknowledge. If President George W. Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney had said, we are going to attack Iraq and a half dozen other countries in order to exercise hegemony over the Middle East, steal their oil, and clear the path for Israel to steal the entirety of the West Bank of Palestine, diverting taxpayers' resources from serving the American people into the pockets of the armaments industries and spilling the blood of your parents, spouses, children, and siblings, even the American sheeple would have resisted. Instead, following the famous advice of Hitler's chief propagandist, they said, our country has been attacked. Generally speaking, an observant person with a bit of education can recognize a false flag attack. However, few people pay attention beyond what the official media says, and the media no longer investigates and questions, but simply repeats the official story. Therefore, only a few realize what has really happened, and when these few open their mouths, they are discredited as conspiracy theorists. This method of control might be wearing thin. There have been so many false flag terrorist attacks in the 21st century that there are now thousands of experts labeled as conspiracy theorists. The neoconservatives who controlled the George W. Bush regime called for a new Pearl Harbor so that they could begin their wars of conquest in the Middle East. A new Pearl Harbor is what 9/11 gave them. The charge, conspiracy theory, is used to prevent investigation. 9/11 was not investigated. The Boston Marathon bombing was not investigated. A scripted story was issued and repeated by the media. The San Bernardino shootings were not investigated. Again, a pre-scripted story took the place of investigation. The success of false flag attacks in the U.S. led to their use in the U.K. and France. The Charlie Hebdo affair was not investigated, and the official explanation makes no sense. The story was closed with all the loose ends dangling. For example, why did a French police official investigating the crime allegedly commit suicide in his police office in the early hours of the morning, and why was his family denied the autopsy report? What happened to this disappeared story? Dear Western peoples, if you wish to be able to walk down the streets of your cities without being accosted by police, demanded to present identity papers, searched, detained indefinitely, or assassinated without due process of law, if you wish to be able to express your opinion about your government and its use of your tax payments, if you wish to be able to discuss current affairs or your personal affairs without being recorded by the NSA or the equivalent in your own country or by both, if you wish to live in the freedom that was achieved in the West after centuries of struggle, wake up. Find time from less meaningful pursuits to become aware of what is being stolen from you. It is late in the game. If you do not stand up for the truth, you will have no freedom, as there is no freedom without truth. The View from Uncle Bill's Front Porch, sponsored by homemade apple pie in the bright red can. And we're about 5 minutes early for MK Davis, but maybe he's available. So we're going to try to contact MK Davis. MK Davis is in Benton, Mississippi. He's an expert on the Patterson-Gimlin film, other aspects of the Bigfoot issue, also other sometimes political issues he likes to comment on. We're going to see what MK wants to talk about tonight. So we're going to attempt to contact MK Davis in Benton, Mississippi.
Hello.
Well, hello, MK. It's Chuck and Mike and the New American Dream Radio Show. We're a little bit early, so you get a little bit extra time.
Oh, extra time. Okay. Well, I can just, I can chat.
Okay. Thank you.
What am I going to talk? Are we on the air now?
We are.
All right. I want to talk a little bit about the Patterson-Gimlin. And the Patterson-Gimlin, just about the time that you think that it's falling by the wayside, something comes along and improves the film. And for every 1% of improvement, you can see 10 new things, and that's a general rule. And just have a new method of processing the footage, which it involves a lot of different steps. First of all, to treat each frame as an individual frame, determine the problem that frame has with clarity, and fix it. And that requires filtering and deblurring. And then when you get through with all that, which is labor intensive as it can be, then you take it and you say, well, what is the problem with the film after you've gotten it sharpened up? And the problem is that there only about half of the event was filmed, and the other half exists between the frames and was not recorded. And when anytime you run cinema, there is a minimum of how many frames that you can run before you lose the cinematic effect, and it becomes a series of stills, and there's flickers. It flickers real badly. So, you can just kind of click through the frames of the film, and you'll see that the right arm will be way out here, and then one frame away, it'll drop way down here, and the leg will kick way back. A lot of action is lost in between the frames. So the cinematic effect is such that you hold the previous image in your mind long enough for the next image to be shown, and it creates a smooth action. And most film frames are 24 frames per second or 30. And you don't lose, you don't see any flickering. You drop down to where the Patterson film was, and it's way low. It's probably below 16 frames and there's an awful lot of action lost, and there's flickering. If you slow the film down any at all to look at it, it's so distracting that you can't look at it. So what I attempted to do was to tailor something that would fill in those gaps without changing any information. And this is all particularly, these methods are tailored to the specifics of the Patterson film. So if for another film, I would have to come up with something that's specific to that film and what's wrong with that film. But the Patterson film I know very well. And so what I did was to take, you got, say, film number 156. The next one's 157. And I created a 156 and a quarter and 156 and three quarter. And they're composed of the 156 and 157 in transparency, aligned with each other. Everything's aligned up. But the both frames are at one of the next frame, 157, it's got a blend of 25%. So, and that comes after 156. And then another blend of 156 and 157 at 75%. And then 157. So, I'm bridging that gap using the film itself. And what you get is fantastic results. You can slow that film way on down. And it's smooth. It's like watching the 30 frame per second video. And it modernized the film. And it really didn't change anything, but it changed the way that you watch it. It changed the way that you process the information in your brain. And it's fantastic. It really if you want to see it, you can see some examples of it on my blog, thedavisreport.wordpress.com. And you can click on the banner, the film banner at the top, and it will take you to the latest post. And then you can follow back through the posts. It's got them labeled down below. And watch these examples, these short clips, because what you end up with in is a lot of frames. For every 25 frames, you end up with 100, and it taxes a computer to display the film in with that many frames. But so I don't show the entire film in a one single run. I've just been showing clips out of it. It has got the muscles, the leg muscles. Of course, when the lighting hits the Patterson subject, it's very oblique. It's coming from the behind her and striking her back and across the leg at a very oblique angle. And she's got an area on her leg that she's constantly raking with her thumb and her fingers when their hand comes by, and it has thinned out the hair on that leg until with the new techniques and the new the efforts made with the processing, you can see that muscle tighten up. You can see the leg itself, not the hair, and it's most amazing thing. It's the leg is probably twice the size of mine, maybe more. And it's all muscle. I mean, it looks just like somebody that's been picking up those great big weights, like the Olympic lifters. They cling and jerk. Their legs are so strong. That's what it reminds me of. Really built up. So, the more you see, the more you work on the film and improve it, the more you see, and the more you see, the more questions you have. Of course, It always begs to ask, how did this kind of muscle development occur? living, you know, in the wild like that. I'm sure she's not going to a gym. Well, it's something in the genes. You know, it's something related to what she is, the nature of her. Where, you know, if it's like most things in nature, she's going to be one of the softer ones, you know, a female. So if you see these big legs on her and these muscles, and the tightening of the muscles, imagine what a male would have. Mr. Bigfoot. See, and that's what I like about it, is because the Patterson film keeps on giving. And when it gives you one thing, it opens doors to other things. So I think that it has succeeded over the years in catapulting people out of the realms of does Bigfoot exist into the realms of what Bigfoot is. And if there's anything that Patterson film has done, it's that. And as far as somebody asked me, you know, what's going to happen, you know, when I'm gone, are my children going to take up the thing? I said, probably not. You know, it's I'm not the average fellow. You know, I'm a very hard headed person. So I haven't given up, and I've worked on that film, and I've taken every opportunity to improve it, and to get the best versions to work with, and then to improve those and to push those things the way you push an astral photograph. You know, to get faint detail, it works very well with this film. So, you know, it's beyond dispute. So the Patterson film is what it is, and that brings the whole of mankind, you know, into, you know, what is it that Patterson filmed that day? You know, lots of questions, tons of questions. And the more you learn, the more you ask, and the more you ask, the more you want to know the answers, and the more you dig. And it's just been an ongoing, you know, this is probably my fourth or fifth rendition of the film. And each time it's boosted contrast, it's boosted sharpness. So I'm a very pleased person right now. I've got a little more to go on it. And my eyes hurt. I've got a crick in my neck. My clicking finger is a kind of halfway numb. But you know, I'm steady at it. If it wasn't producing results, you know, I would give up. I wouldn't do anymore. But it's popping, as they say in the photography business. You can see the hair arrangement. You can see the neck moving, the neck muscles. The face is real easy to see. It's all just popping. And so I'm very pleased right now in the where that film is at and where that film will take a person. And I think that the future is bright for hominidology. Hominidology. I'm not sure I'm even saying it right. Also, there was a Russian lady who was the daughter-in-law of Igor Burtsev, who made a painting based on the Patterson film. And with these new processing methods, you can see that this lady pretty much nailed it. And I'm pretty amazed that she was able to see what she saw in it. Maybe you get a chance, look him up, Igor Burtsev, and see if he's got that on. I'm not sure if it's on his webpage. I have copies, you know, that he let me look at, but her name is Lydia Burtseva, and a very fine artist. But the problem with artistry is that, you know, it's very hard for personal, you know, opinions and insights to keep those from creeping in to become part of the film. And I've seen it. A person sent me a rendition of Patty, and he had the eyes way too close, and I could see the eyes in the film itself. So I know that they're set wide apart. And he did not see that. You know, he painted them much too close. They tend to put human parameters on them, you know, our the way our eyes look. But the eyes of this Bigfoot or Sasquatch are wider apart. They're out further to the edge, and they're much more stereoscopic. So, you know, I don't say much when that happens. You know, I don't want to discourage anybody, you know, from trying to do that. But he did not nail it. But this lady from Russia, Lydia Bortseva, nailed it pretty much. But she has a very famous father-in-law who did a really good study of the Patterson film back in the 70s, and she had him to guide her. So she really, you know, I would consider that, well, it'd be a wall hanger if I had a copy of that portrait. I'd have it in my main cave right next to where I got a blanket in my main cave that's got frame 352 printed on the blanket, and absolutely the most stunning, clearest picture there is from the film. And I would put it up right beside that. And it's all very interesting, and there's a lot of arguments coming. I'll tell you that, even the new version of the film is going to provoke arguments. You know, are we looking at an animal? Are we looking at a human? Are we looking at some mix? You know, what are we looking at? Something from the past? You know, that will all be hashed out. But we will be further down the road. We won't be stuck in does it exist land, I don't think. And like I said, go to davisreport.wordpress.com. You can also find it on my YouTube. I have some of it on my YouTube channel. And that would be Green Wave FB 2010. That channel, you can, or just type in, you know, MK Davis Patterson film. I'm sure you find it that way.
Say MK? MK?
Yeah.
MK, this is Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Can you hear me? Good, yeah. Good. I was wondering if the new rendition makes it any easier to tell if that is a bullet wound in the thigh or something on the right thigh.
I think it does. It's definitely a shadow. You know, I told you it's the sun sitting at an oblique angle, and yeah, it's cast in a shadow. So it exists for the actual bulge for one frame, and there's a slight beginning the previous frame, and it is a slight end after that in the aft frame. So it involves several frames there, but really one frame at full bulge. This happened very fast and does not reappear. Mm-hmm. So it threw a shadow. So there's no question in my mind that it is there. It's not a film anomaly. Knowing the background like I do, I'd say probably it's a very good candidate for being that very thing.
Is it something that's ongoing, that's happening in the moment, or something that happened before, do you think?
I think it's happening right there in the moment.
Okay.
You know, it caught my
eye. There's a sad background to what, you know, the Patterson Gimlin film and your studies, you know, that people might not know about, but it's not, you know, I saw it, and I think whenever it was on TV, but a lot of people don't know that what you've discovered about it, I don't think. A lot of people listening to this. Anyway, maybe we can get into that sometime.
Okay, well, we'll do that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Got it. Thank you.
Tom. We'll be right back after this message.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow, Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. EST, Studio B.
Baby Mondays at 1600 hours Eastern Studio A.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And now, a letter in a Boone's Farm bottle. Some notes we have received during the first half of our show from listeners by email, chat room, telephone, telepathy, and telegraph. We hear from Paulus Craigus Robertus in Athens, Georgia.
Murder is Washington's foreign policy. Washington has a long history of massacring people. For example, the destruction of the Plains Indians by the Union war criminals Sherman and Sheridan, and the atomic bombs dropped on Japanese civilian populations. But Washington has progressed from periodic massacres to full-time massacring. From the Clinton regime forward, massacre of civilians has become a defining characteristic of the United States of America. Washington is responsible for the destruction of Yugoslavia and Serbia, Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, Somalia, and part of Syria. Washington has enabled Saudi Arabia's attack on Yemen, Ukraine's attack on its former Russian provinces, and Israel's destruction of Palestine and the Palestinian people. The American state's murderous rampage through the Middle East and North Africa was enabled by the Europeans who provided diplomatic and military cover for Washington's crimes. Today, the Europeans are suffering the consequences as they're overrun by millions of refugees from Washington's wars. Washington has added to its crimes the mass murder of civilians with drones and missile strikes on weddings, funerals, children's soccer games, medical centers, and people's homes. Nothing can better illustrate the absence of moral integrity and moral conscience of the American state and the population that tolerates it than the cavalier disregard of a thousand of murdered innocents as collateral damage. American presidential hopefuls compete on the basis of who will commit the worst war crimes. A leading candidate endures torture despite its prohibition under U.S. and international law. The candidate proclaimed that torture works, as if that's a justification, despite the fact that experts know it does not work. Almost everyone being tortured will say anything in order to stop the torture. Washington's use of invasion, bombings, and murder by drone as its principal weapon against terrorists is mindless. It shows a government devoid of all intelligence, focused on killing alone. Even a fool understands that violence creates terrorists. Washington hasn't even the intelligence of fools. The American state now subjects U.S. citizens to execution without due process of law, despite the strict prohibition by the U.S. Constitution. Washington's lawlessness toward others now extends to the American people themselves. The only possible conclusion is that under Clinton, George W. Bush, Obama, and Trump, the U.S. government has become an unaccountable, lawless, criminal organization and is a danger to the entire world and its own citizens.
A letter in a Boone's Farm bottle. Some notes we have received during the first half of our show from listeners by email, chat room, telephone, telepathy, and telegraph.
Well, it's been another long week in Moonrock Lake, Ohio, at the end of the empire. The American dream has dangled before our eyes for over 200 years. The American dream is the goal that we Americans hold on to when everything else is gone. The American dream is our ideal. Too bad it's just a dream. The Americans dream of marshmallow clouds and lollipop lanes and TV towns. While the world waits, fists clenched, eyes blazing, tears streaming. The Americans dream of rocket ships, fireworks, freedom, and hallelujah while they sleep on through the alarm, the house of fire. Back in the very time that the United States was beginning to attack Iraq for having attacked us on 9/11 and for having weapons of mass destruction, even though there were no weapons of mass destruction, and the one calling for the attack, President George W. Bush, was one of the ones that attacked his own country, not Iraq. Well, back when that was happening, Mount Liberty, self-published author Solomon Sendak, understood just what was happening, and he wrote a book. And the book was going to tell everyone the truth about what was happening, and they would all understand, and there would be no war. George W. Bush, the president, would become Bush the inmate. He wrote the book and self-published it and went driving all around the country to tell everyone about his book. And George W. Bush laughed as he heard about Solomon Sendak's little jaunt around the land. He knew, and he was right. Nobody came to hear Solomon Sendak talk about his book. And nobody read it, or understood it, or cared to read it, or understand it. And we killed the people of Fallujah. And George W. Bush finished out his president thing and retired to a giant home in the Dallas suburbs. Well, Solomon asked us if, after all these years, if we would like to read his book over the air. He said it would take a long time and maybe nobody will listen now. He asked us if we thought it was important enough to take the time to read. Hell yeah! We pick up our story after Michael M., staff member at Sun God Group Home, has sped off on his moped to tell the people at the workshop that there's a sit-down strike taking place in the Sun God driveway by residents refusing to go to work at the workshop, and they might be a little late. On his way, he swerved to miss a little girl, jumped the curb, rammed his blue plate helmet into a war memorial for World War II at the city park, breaking the war memorial, and now the National Guard and police have stormed the park and taken Michael M. away in a National Guard helicopter. Michael M. was in prison for having rammed World War II with a blue plate helmet, but he loves Homeland, and all he really wants to do is get free so he can get registered for the Home Helper Show drawing and make his wife proud and his children happy. Due to the kindness of another prisoner donating his own teeth to bribe the guards, M was then free and wandering the countryside. A wanted man known as the Big Evil One, only wanting to find a way to get registered for the Home Helper Show, and then he somehow found his way to the very home of the big man in town and his little daughter, who he almost killed but did not, and then got taken away to prison. The big man in town agreed to help M get registered for the Home Helper Show if M will first do something for him. We pick up our story after the parade. Michael M escaped the grain elevator and made his way to his own home, still a wanted man. His neighbors gathered around him with guns and knives as he sat on his own front steps. Then he escaped his neighbors and hid in someone's backyard bushes. M pulled up his shirt to wipe himself after a policeman had sprayed Freedom Fizz in his face as M lay on his back hiding in the peonies. He heard a television through an open kitchen window and plopped to his side. He peeked out into the alley, knelt to pop his head up through the flowers. He stood and moved off along the grassy edge of the alley next to the garages and tool sheds while life went on as usual on the west side. A cockatoo clung to an overturned bookshelf in the ransacked bookstore. A monkey sat in the broken window, wondering whether to come in or go out. Outside on the dirt road, kids played soccer with a ball of knotted rags. An old woman sat under a baobab tree, stroking the thin hair of a gaunt child, the girl's cheekbones stuck from her skin like a nose into a window screen. The child did not speak, but looked out at the world with big wide eyes. She lay on the ground, her head in the old woman's lap, the bones of her legs in a skewed figure four. Ants crawled on her calloused heels. The girl's bony chest raised and lowered slowly. She looked all around at the cats, the lion cubs, the jets in the sky, the leftover election signs, and the cloudless blue sky, trying to take it all in. A 100 boxcar train roared past on the tracks, blowing its whistle. The cockatoo squawked, and the monkey chattered and scurried from the sill up an elm tree. A cat howled somewhere in the neighborhood. A line of sweat grew down the old woman's wrinkled forehead onto the closed lips of the child. The elevator dryers hummed a happy tune. The bells of an ice cream truck jingled over near Freedom and Liberty on the east side as the old woman raised her face to the sun and shrieked. Tears climbed down her cheeks. She gently closed the young girl's eyes. She clenched her hands into fists and gritted her teeth. Next, Michael M. made his way to the old group home he used to work at before breaking World War II. M. stood in the driveway looking at the Sun God group home, hands on hips, trying to imagine the taste of strawberry ice cream. It was time for evening snack. Most of the lights were on in the office and rooms. M heard music coming from an open window. He walked up a few steps. He crouched and inched ahead behind a bush, around the bush, to Rosie's screen window. He could hear her inside singing along. He scratched the screen with his fingernails. She kept singing. He scratched louder. The music stopped. He scratched. Yes? He put his hand to his mouth to expunge a giggle and scratched again. Booga booga booga, go away, come back another day. He scratched again. She repeated her incantation, pleading. He burst out laughing. Hey, Rosie, it's me. Come here, come here. Michael? Yes, where are you? Over here. Rosie appeared in the screen. I thought you were a ghost. Ghost? The state was here, she said. Inspection. We got gig for having ghosts. Stupid. Al and Mickey were playing paint gun wars in the house and ran when the inspector came in. Something about doors moving and sounds. I think the inspector was nuts. Then I heard you. What are you doing? I thought you were in Saudi Arabia, they said. They say you're the head of the terrorists, the big evil one. I never did believe that. They're nuts. I need to get registered, he said. Voting's over, she said, pushing her head into the screen. I didn't vote for the cardboard cutout or Dick Heavens. I wish you were on the ballot. Me? No. I need to get signed up for the Home Helper Show. How do you do that? I think I can get on the show if I can just get signed up. I signed up 100 times, said Rosie. So did everybody else. You get coupons from the paper or at Quick Shop. I've got a whole drawer. I'll send one in for you. You want me to? Yeah, that'd be great, said Em. 100? Everybody? Yep. Where are you going to sleep? You still work here? I don't know. Rosie pulled back from the screen. Em could see the pattern on her forehead. I wouldn't come inside, she said. They think you're, how's that go? Turd crap something, he said. Crap turd, that's right. You could sleep in the corn on the other side. Yeah, or the beans. If you hide in corn, you can stand up, but in soybeans, you must lie down. You probably already know that. Thanks. Well, good night. Yeah. Em lay down face first in the perfect soft half circle of a cornrow bed. He rested his head on his arms, closed his eyes, and did not notice Bigfoot tiptoeing nearby or the double quad dual exhaust of a spaceship from Mars on its way to cruise night on Pluto. He did not hear the ghosts of Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson churning in their graves. He slept as Dick and Jane Heavens drank strawberry daiquiris on their deck, and while shadows from the west side ventured across the railroad tracks. The rooster sun crowed. Small brown birds bounced along the corn rows, chirping, speaking a different language from the blackbirds balancing on the premature corn ears. Large predators were already patrolling the sky, silent and alone, eyes cast downward. Em woke with his face in the mud, rolled to his back, then sat up. He heard church bells ringing, radios playing in kitchen windows, and old ladies, gobs of toilet paper in their fists, singing through open back room windows. Yay! Praise be the sun god! Dick Heavens for more years! Em pulled himself up by a stalk, stood and looked across a sea of corn just as tall as he. Out in the country, he could see a farmer and a tractor poofing smoke. He wondered how he might get registered a few more times. Sound off, 1, 2. Sound off, 3, 4, Em sang to himself. He sat down again in the row. With his finger, he drew in the dirt. All gave some gave all. He expounded to the attentive ears of corn. It's not true that politicians don't care about the truth, that they're only interested in power and the maintenance of that power. He retraced his dirt epigram. That's what some say, but it's not so. It's not easy to be a leader, to have everyone bitching, watching every move you make. We're just lucky anybody wants to do it. We should be happy with whatever they do. It's like those parents on the sidelines who complain about the coaches. They yell at them, follow them home, call them up late at night. I'm not going to be one of those. Em stood again in the corn, looking around, wondering if he could make it to the quick shop and get registered without being captured for the circus. On the east side, in the neighborhood of Honor Avenue and 14th Street, A cream minivan sat lifeless, smoldering in the middle of the street. Inside, the seats and roof and mom and dad and brother and sister and fastened seatbelts blazed bright like Roman candles. Rich black smoke poured from the Hulk. Metal and parts and rubber and ball glove and baby doll and Happy Meal littered the cement and yards around. Sirens and lights and screams and people with hands on their cheeks raced toward the red glare of the bonfire. The old woman under the baobab tree knelt to slide her arms under the girl, never to hold her own child. She pulled the girl to her breast and stood strong. She walked barefoot over the sparse lawn and thorns, across the dirt road, and out into a dry, hard field. And that's the news from Moonrock Lake, where all the police and soldiers are thugs, all the journalists and Democrats are cowards, and all the Homeland Security COINTELPRO lone gunmen are about average. The new American dream means never having to say some question or idea is not valid. We're allowed to ask any questions we have. There are no wrong questions. There's no hidden black military budget. There are no UFO files that Americans cannot see, no JFK documents that will not be opened during our lifetimes, no destroyed RFK murder photos by the LA police, no evidence from Ground Zero taken away before we can even look at it. We are not the USSR of the 1960s. This is supposed to be America. That is our dream, to become America, the new America, the real hope of the world. We have a dream of bringing the United States politicians, journalists, and generals who brought about this long 13-year war and debacle to trial and put them on TV just like OJ every afternoon so every American can watch, just like the McCarthy hearings and the JFK funeral procession. What we need is a new American dream, not of new homes and toasters and microwaves, but of becoming the type of country we always thought we were. Right now, we live on lies. We subsist on lies, but it's not really living. 9/11 was an inside job. They all know that. What we need in America is a truth commission like they had in South Africa to heal their broken country. We need to put certain people on the stand. We need to be allowed to ask questions. Our country is surely broken as well. The troops are not protecting us. That's someone's spin on the day's news, somebody's advertising slogan, someone else's sermon. The troops serve the empire. They're not heroes. They kill and plunder for the empire. American bases overseas serve nobody but the empire. The heroes in our country are the protesters, the ones who go face to face with the empire, those in the plowshares movement, for one example. You have to know that Donald Trump knows the whole truth about the 9/11 attacks. He is complicit. He's lied. He's continued the wars everywhere based on a lie. He knows he's lying. Trump lies right to our faces on national television, just as Barack Obama did when he said that Osama bin Laden had been killed and buried at sea. Osama bin Laden buried at sea. Jessica Lynch rescued heroically. The USA does not torture. Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. George Bush won the 2000 election. See, there's a plane there in that hole in Shanksville. Went all the way into the hole, and no, there's no blood, no bodies, no luggage scattered or plane parts. And Osama bin Laden was buried at sea. Remember the anthrax letters which said, "Are you afraid?" Those were not written with a rock and chisel like Fred Flintstone from the recesses of some cave in Afghanistan. Those letters came from persons within our own government, like a horror movie, and the killer is in the same house with us. These killers are right here with us, and they want us to be afraid. We cannot be afraid. I'd like to thank all of you for listening to this episode of the New American Dream Radio Show. And especially I'd like to thank Mike. Thanks, Mike. And good night.
And thank you, Chuck, for all you do, all the interviews, the technical work, everything that really makes this show possible. And thanks to our guests, Anthony Rayson, M.K. Davis, Phil Ferruggio, and Frank Cordero. And we're sorry we couldn't get in touch with Larry Pinkney. Hopefully we'll be able to talk to Larry next month. Please visit the New American Dream website, where you'll find information about all of our regular guests and also the show archives, newdream.us, also Penn Magazine, P-E-N-N, magazine.us. If you would like to donate to the Des Moines Catholic Worker, write to the Phil Berrigan House, 713 Indiana Avenue, Des Moines, Iowa, 50314. And so good night to my friends, Chuck and Lorraine. Stay warm down there. Good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Todd Beamer. Good night, Mark Bingham. Good night, Timothy McVeigh. Good night, Charlie Hebdo. Good night, Don Hawksbrum. Good night, Ken Lay. Good night, Muhammad Atta. Good night, Omar Mateen. Good night, Noah Posner. Good night, Crystal Campbell. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
Let all mortal flesh keep silence, and with fear and trembling stand. Under nothing earthly minded, for with blessing in his hand, Christ our God to earth descendeth, our full homage to demand. King of kings, yet born of Mary, as of old on earth he stood, Lord of lords in human vesture, in the body and the blood, he will give to all the faithful his own self for heavenly food. Rank on rank the host of heaven spreads its vanguard on the wing. As the light of light descendeth from the realms of endless day, that the powers of hell may vanish as the darkness clears away.
Good night, everyone.
What do you see? Homes being foreclosed. People working 2-3 jobs just to put food on the table and still drowning in debt. Don't get me wrong. This country was founded on great ideals and principles. They've all been ruined by the banks. Open your eyes to the banks that are robbing you. You know who my favorite president was?
Who?
Thomas Jefferson. Because he saw all of this coming and tried to stop it. He fought the banks. JFK too, and they killed him for it. The banking institution is more dangerous than an army, he said. He also said that every generation needs a revolution, Jimmy. The American dream is just that. Just a dream. War is a continuation of politics, only by other means. Politics is a continuation of economics by other means. This is our bank. This is our war. And this is our plan of attack.
Banks have become an essential threat to our democracy. So consider this
justice.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution, Revolution. Radio!
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning, warning.
We gotta stop them. They're gonna kill us all.
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart. But you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves...